The first Bible reading today is Psalm 17, verses 1 to 9, which is on page 913 in the Pew Bibles. Okay. Sorry. For the director of music, for Jeduthun of Asaph, a psalm. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated, and my spirit asked, "Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?"
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for reading, Georgia. I've got my bike with me today. Actually, it's Gus's bike, but I brought it in. And the reason I brought this bike in will become clear a little bit later on. For now, it just seems a silly thing to do, but there you go. I'm going to put it up over here. Hopefully that stays there. If we haven't met before, my name's Carl. I'm the senior pastor here. Thank you for joining with us this morning. Today we're looking at this question, how can I feel closer to God? But I want to start by asking you, have you ever seen the sea during a storm? You know, in a storm, the sea, the waves like crashing on the rocks and the wind roars and it's all really a bit scary. And every time I get to see the sea in a storm, I'm reminded of the story of Jesus who tells the storm to stop and the wind and the waves listen and it goes calm. Now, I know that Jesus did this. I know he did it because it's written down in Luke chapter 8. And I know why Luke wrote his gospel. He wrote it to give us an orderly account of all the things that Jesus did and said. And so I know that Luke isn't making up his story. And so in my head, I know that that really happened. And yet here's the thing. Even though the wind and the waves listen to Jesus, sometimes it feels like Jesus isn't listening to me. Now I know Jesus can calm the storm. He does that just by speaking. But sometimes it doesn't feel like he hears me. And here's a question for you this morning. Have you ever felt like that? Does it ever feel like God is far away? I want to tell you this morning about something that a man called Tim Keller said. Tim Keller was a pastor just like me, but he was a really, really good pastor, much better in many, many ways. He wrote more than 30 books. I've written zero. He wrote more than 30 books. But one day, Tim Keller got some really bad news from his doctor. His doctor said to him, "You've got cancer, bad cancer, and you're likely to only live one more year." And here's what Tim Keller said when he was asked about how that made him feel. He said, "It's one thing to believe that God loves you. It's another thing to actually feel God's love. It's one thing to believe that he's present with you. It's another thing to actually experience his presence." See, Tim Keller knew that there was a difference between knowing something in our heads and feeling something deep down inside us. And if that's Tim Keller's experience, this amazing pastor, we too shouldn't be surprised, I think, if sometimes it feels like God's a bit distant. Today, Georgia read to us from the first part of Psalm 77. Some of the Psalms tell us who their author was, who wrote them. Often the Psalms were written by King David, but Psalm 77 is written by Asaph. And Asaph was one of Israel's worship leaders. He was a bit like Chris Castledine is for us, but he was that for the whole of Israel. Asaph led the whole of Israel in the praises of God. And so if anyone should have felt close to God, surely it would be Asaph. After all, he's Israel's worship leader. But look how the psalm starts. Let me read to you from verse 1.
Asaph says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. See, when Asaph says these things, does it feel like he's close to God? I reckon no. He cries out to God, and yet he doesn't feel God's comfort. And a few verses down, we read this. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? And here's why I'm telling you this. If Asaph, Israel's worship leader, if he feels this way, if Tim Keller, that amazing pastor, if God sometimes feels distant for him, we shouldn't be surprised if sometimes it feels like that for us as well. And maybe when you feel that way, coming to church seems pointless or boring. Maybe when we feel this way, it's difficult for us to pray. And when we do pray, it feels like nothing seems to happen. And so here's our question for today. How can we feel closer to God? And we're going to spend the rest of our morning kind of wrestling with this question. But I want you to go home today and I want you to keep thinking through this question. And to do that, if there's someone in your family today who is in school years 3 to 10, we have a gift for you today. It's this book here. It's called How Can I Feel Closer to God? It's written by a man called Chris. I'd love you to take this book home and read it together. Read it as a family. You'll find if you have a child in that age, hopefully there's a book in the hall outside, out there, with a little letter written to us from you. If you don't have a child in your house of that age, there are a few spare copies on the corner of the table. If you'd like to take one of those, you can. You can also buy the book from the Good Book Company if you want to get it online, or a Reformers bookstore. But as we consider this question, how can I feel closer to God? I want to give us a kind of solid base to start upon. Here's the foundation. Here's what I want you to know. I want you to know that God has acted and God has reached out to us. Those things are true and they are real. And here's a suggestion then for us this morning as we start to wrestle with this question. See, really knowing that, that God has acted and that God has reached out to us, really knowing that deep down in our core, that'll help us feel closer to God. In Psalm 77, up until verse 9, that section that Georgia read us, it feels for Asaph like God has forgotten him. But let me show you what happens next. I'd love you to open your Bibles if you haven't already done so. Open them to Psalm 77, to page 913. And I want you to see that there's a change in this psalm at verse 10. So page 913, Psalm 77, and verse 10. In verse 10, things change. And Asaph says this. He says, then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. What is Asaph doing in verses 10 to 12 of this psalm? Well, I want to suggest to you that he is remembering how God has acted in the past. And he says, I will remember God's deeds. I will remember his miracles. I will remember his works. And look closely at verse 12. What do you see in verse 12? He says, I will meditate on all your mighty deeds. What do you think the word meditate means? What is Asaph doing when he says, I will meditate on you? Does that mean that he kind of finds a nice comfy cushion, sits down and puts his hands up like this and goes, is that what he's doing when he's meditating on God? I don't think so. I think what he's saying is that he is considering carefully and slowly the truths of God. And he's doing it over and over again in his mind until they go from his mind and they sink deep down into his core. Or you might say he's taking what he knows in his head and he's writing it on his heart. In the Bible, I think that's what this is about. Meditating is about taking what we know and putting it deep down into our core. Let me give you an illustration to try and explain how I think this works. Hands up if you can remember how to learn, if you remember what it was like to ride a bike for the first time. Can you remember doing that? Yeah. How many times did you fall off when you were learning to ride a bike? Lots of times, right? Because that's why I brought this bike in today. I mean, it doesn't look like it should work, does it? It's only got two wheels, and if you let it go, it falls over, right? But when you're learning to ride a bike, mum or dad or whoever it is that's teaching you how to ride a bike tells you if you push the pedals, if you steer with the handlebars, if you lean into the corner, if you squeeze the brakes to slow down, it will work. They can tell you how to do it in your head, but you still can't ride a bike, can you? It's not until you kind of have a go, until you send it, so to speak, that you actually learn how to ride a bike. And you'll fall over the first few times you have a go doing it. But as you keep practicing, day after day, you'll fall off less and less, and you'll suddenly be able to ride the bike. And what's happening in a way is that it goes from being head knowledge, you know that you have to pedal the pedals and steer the handlebars, and it gets imprinted deeper into you. And so you actually get to a point where you can ride a bike without even thinking about how to do it. It just happens. And I reckon the same is sort of true when it comes to God. See, we can know in our heads that he's real and know what he's done for us. But when we trust him day after day, when we meditate on his words time and time again, those truths actually become real for us. And I reckon this is what Asaph is doing in verses 10 to 12 of the psalm. He's meditating on what God has done and who God is. And so he knows these things to be true, and he's putting them deep down into his inner being. Now, at first, riding a bike is a kind of scary thing to do because you just keep crashing off. But if you keep practicing, you get the hang of it, and it just becomes part of who you are. Isn't that how you start to feel closer to God as well? You take what you know about God, and you start living as though it were true. And after a while, it feels true as well. Here's an encouragement for you this morning. Give it a go. You might wobble a bit at first, just like when you're riding a bike, but you'll soon come to see that the promises that God makes to us are true. You'll discover that as we live with God's promises, they become part of who we are, and so we feel closer to God. Here's what Asaph does in Psalm 77. He recites what he knows about God, meditating on who he is. Here's what it says in verse 13. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Now, I want us to pause here for a moment, and I'd love to ask you a question that you might be able to ask the person next to you. What part of God's story, here's the question I want you to ask, what part of God's story do you find most helpful to meditate on? That is, what part of God's story is it most helpful to remember how he has done it and to keep turning those thoughts over and over and over in our minds so that we write them deep into our inner being? What part of God's story do you find most helpful to do that with? You might like to share that with the person next to you. If that question feels a little confronting, maybe you could share with the person next to you what it was like to learn to ride a bike for you. Okay?
G'day everyone, my name is Chris and this is Zara. We're going to be reading from Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, which will be up behind you while we read, hopefully, and also on page 1872 of your Bibles.
Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habits of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Thanks very much, Sarah. Well, Walker D. Plank, our pirate friend, has reminded us that we need to be cautious of our feelings. He had some wise words for us, didn't he? Because I think many of us need to sometimes watch out for what our feelings are saying to us. Here's the next question still. We're still answering that question, though. How do we feel closer to God? How do we do that? We've already talked this morning about how we are to meditate on the truths of God, how that's part of the answer. But there are some other things that might be helpful. James, who was Jesus' brother, he has something very helpful to say to us about this. He tells us in the letter that he wrote, he says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to us." That's what it says in James chapter 4, verse 8. In the NIV, it says, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you." So if we want to feel closer to God, then we need to draw near to him. And as I told you a few moments ago, even if at first it doesn't feel like that is working, we need to trust what James is saying. Because James is not just giving us his opinion here, he's giving us a promise. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So how do we draw near to God? Well, this is why I asked Chris and Zara to read to us from Hebrews chapter 10. If you've got your Bibles open, I'd love you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And the first thing I want you to notice from Hebrews chapter 10 is that we're able to draw near to God, not because of what we've done, but because of what God has done for us in Jesus. I want to come back a few verses earlier than what Zara read to us. Come back to verse 19, if you can see that in your Bibles, in Hebrews chapter 10. And let me read what it says in verse 19. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God." What the writer is really saying is that it's only possible to draw near to God, not because of what we've done, not because we're good enough or we deserve to draw near to God, not because of our own skill or our own good works. No, we draw near to God. We're able to do that because Jesus has made a way for us to draw near to God. Hebrews tells us that we come into the presence of God because of Jesus' blood. And what he means there is because of Jesus' death, when he gave his life for us. See, that is how God dealt with sin. Previously, we've been excluded from being in the presence of God. But through his death, it's like we have a ticket or an access pass to God the Father. Hands up if you've ever been to Adelaide Oval. A few people have been to Adelaide Oval. To get into Adelaide Oval, to go to the cricket or the football or something like that, you need a ticket, right? My family love going to watch the Strikers play. We each get a ticket, and we use that to get through those turnstile gates at the gate of Adelaide Oval. If you've got the right ticket in your hand, you hold it up to the gate flashes green, the little doors open, and through you go. If you've got the wrong ticket or no ticket at all, the light stays red and the doors don't open. Here's what the writer to the Hebrews is saying. The only way to get through the gate to God is if you've got the Jesus ticket. Nothing else works. Not money, not your smarts, not your good looks, not your good deeds, not being the most popular person at school. Only Jesus opens the gate for us. But here's the really good news. If you trust in Jesus, if you've got the Jesus ticket, that gate will always open. Every time you hold the ticket up to the gate, it opens. See, this is how we draw near to God, through Jesus. But we still might not feel like we're near him. But Hebrews chapter 10 hasn't finished. Zara read to us a couple more instructions from Hebrews chapter 10. Two more instructions that I think will help us feel closer to God. Let me read to you from verse 23. Here's what it says. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. What does that mean? I mean, surely it means something like we must remember the good promises that God has made to us. Now, if you're at school, you're about to start term 4. Probably you're going to school tomorrow, maybe Tuesday for some of us. And that means that, I'm sorry to say, the school holidays are nearly over.
Now, I imagine a few of you are a little anxious about that, a little sad that the school holidays are over. In our house, there's something extra sad about the end of the school holidays. See, we have a rule which means at the end of the school holidays, the Nintendo Switch has got to be packed back up into its box and put away in the cupboard. It doesn't come out again until the next holidays, 10 weeks away. And particularly for my boys, that is very sad. It's a horrible rule for them, a frustrating rule for them. Let's imagine tonight that I write the boys a little letter, and here's what I say. Boys, it's time to pack away the Nintendo Switch, but I promise that when the school holidays come around, you'll be able to get it back out of the cupboard, you'll be able to play it as much as you want in the holidays, and we'll even choose a new game from the Nintendo store at the start of the holidays. And I sign the letter, it is my promise. Now imagine that in 3 weeks' time, Hamish, my youngest boy, has had a hard day at school. Maybe a hard week, actually. There was a tough math test. Some of his friends wouldn't play soccer with him, these sorts of things. It was a hard day. And what he really wants to do when he comes home from school is play the Nintendo Switch. Now, what might help him get through? I mean, it's weeks and weeks away until the school holidays. Will he ever see it again? I think that's what he's starting to think. Will I ever see the Nintendo Switch again? And what would help him? Well, here's what I want to suggest. If he got that letter back out of the cupboard and reread it, the promise that I made to him, reminding him that when the summer holidays came, he could again have the Nintendo Switch as much as he wanted. I think that is what the writer to the Hebrews is saying here. If you want to draw near to God, if you want to feel closer to God, hold on to the promises that God has made you. Remind yourself time and time again of those promises that God has made. And we do that by reading about them. Read and reread God's promises. They're written down in this book. Read about who God is and what God has done and why he's done those things. Let God remind you of the promises he's made. Draw near to him. He will draw near to you. Hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Remember that God is faithful. We do that by reading about his promises. In verse 24, there's another instruction for us that will help us draw near to God. In verse 24, it says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching." See, here is another way I think we can feel closer to God, how we can draw closer to God. That is by meeting together with God's people. And when you do that, make sure that you encourage each other to keep pressing on to be with Jesus. That's why I'm so glad you're here today, because here in this place, you can encourage those people around you to keep pressing on with Jesus. You can remind those you're sitting with that the gospel is true. And in doing so, you will help them draw near to God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. When we gather together as a church like this, we should be encouraging each other to be like Jesus, to love each other, to live in a way that pleases God. And it's part of what it means to draw near to him. When we meet together like this, we sing praises to God. And we remind each other of what God has done as we sing together. And that helps us draw near to God. But it's not just meeting as a church on Sunday mornings that do that, is it? We can meet in youth groups. We can meet in Bible study groups. We can meet with Christian friends in the week. And as we meet, we remind each other of what God has done, what he has said, and that helps us to draw near to him. And it's not just reading. I want us to remember also that we have the opportunity to speak to God when we meet with others and in our own time. Last year, the staff team and I went away on a conference together, and one of the conference speakers was talking about prayer and Bible reading together, and that conference reader was saying it's a bit like breathing in and breathing out. They were saying reading the Bible is like breathing in. We take in God's truth. And praying is like breathing out. We speak to God, and just like breathing, you need to do both breathing in and breathing out to stay alive. If you want to feel close to God, breathe in, read God's word, breathe out, speak to him. Remember James's promises, draw near to him, and he will draw near to you.
Here's my encouragement for you this morning. Get on the bike. Like, trust the process. Meditate on what God has done. Sing praises to God. Pray to God privately and with others. Encourage those people around you so that you yourself can be encouraged. You might not always feel close to God. Walker D. Plank, our pirate, helped us to be wary of our feelings. But this is what you can do. Keep drawing near to God. Keep reading about his promises. Keep praying to him. Keep meeting with others, encouraging each other. And if we do those things, we will find that he really is near, because that is what he has promised. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that you have made good promises to us. We thank you that you have acted in the past. We thank you for the ticket that we have to be in your presence. We thank you for what you have done through your son, Jesus, for his death and the access that gives us to you. We pray that your spirit would be at work in us, that your spirit would be writing the truths of who you are and what you've done deep into our inner being so that we would know you. Father, we ask that you would help us to draw near to you, knowing that you draw near to us. Amen.